What's up, everyone? Chris Manning here from the Locked On Cavs podcast with my co-host Evan Damerl. On today's show, Ricky Rubio is back, how and why in segment one, why the Neto signing was needed for the Cavs, along with that in segment two, and segment three, Robin Lopez may be too tall to ride the ride to Cedar Point, but certainly tall enough to play backup center for the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's coming up today. I want to thank you for making Locked On Cavs your first listen every day. Remember, we are free and available wherever you get your podcast.
You are Locked On Cavs, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast.
All right, I'm Chris Manning, covering the Cavs and NBA for places like Diamond Up Rocks and SB Nation's Fear the Sword. My co-host is Evan Damerl, primarily at Facebook's Write Down Euclid. Evan, just like the Garland news we discussed in July 5.1, the Rubio news is something I covered in the live reaction it on Saturday. So I'm going to ask you this at the top here. What is your reaction to Ricky Rubio coming back to the Cavs on a three-year deal for a chunk of the mid-level exception? The third year of that is partially non-guaranteed. What's your Rubio reaction?
There was a little bit of sticker shock value when you look at the whole contract itself, but like when Chris Fuhrer reported that the last year of his contract, I believe, is either partially or full.
This Chris also did it, just to be clear. I want credit on this one.
Contract is not fully guaranteed. You reported that too?
Read my at Fear the Sword, buddy. It's in there. Let's go.
Well, shouts to Chris Manning instead. We support Kings wearing his crown on the show right now, but I didn't know about that. I knew about the number value. I was like, oh, that's a lot of money. I was doing the math. I'm like, 6.14 million if you divided it evenly over three. Like that obviously eats up your non-taxpayer mid-level exception that you have. Granted, the cast...
Big chunk of it.
That's what I said, eats up. It's just that it eats up part of it, but... Obviously, we'll see how the Cavs kind of navigate that situation as a whole. Like, they could still be a sign and trade possibility. We're posting this episode prior to when all these moves are announced, and obviously it can expand, but nothing has been reported at this point, so let's just assume Rubio is eating up that exception, and then you are moving forward with him. And I think it makes sense. I think it definitely makes more sense when you add Raul Neto into the fold. He's a player I'm a fan of, and also is a lot more serviceable than Kevin Pangos, too, just as a quality third string backup point guard that you can kind of let run the offense and hone things for 10, 15 minutes a night until Rubio's right and healthy. And then you see where you're at with Ricky. You bring him along slowly, help him clear out some of the rust, keeping Neto in the fold. Then you slowly phase Neto out of the rotation and you give him Rubio's minutes. And then you get really freaky with it and can see what you can do with him and Garland side by side and see if you can really kind of capitalize on that magic you had last season. But I like the Rubio signing. I think it's paramount for the Cavs to find a solid quality backup for Darius Garland, and it was clear that Ricky Rubio was overperforming his role for the Cavs. Like, he was could have been a quality starting guard in the league last season, but the Cavs were using him as a reserve, and that kind of have that maybe not at the full capacity just because of health concerns. It's pretty much a win if you're Cleveland. If you have Rubio playing 15, 20 minutes a night, I talked about this with Mac Robinson as well on July 4th. But let's say since it's a three-year deal, year one, he's going to be Rubio's backup. Maybe you bring in like a younger guard because I had to check this. They have the 45th pick in the 2023 NBA draft. Theoretically, at this point, it's their own second rounder. So wherever that ends up, that's where they take a player. Let's say they'd get a point guard, put him on a two-way deal, let him develop with the Charge. But you also let Rubio have him be in his ear when he's on that two-way deal and traveling with the Cavs as well. And he kind of, Rubio mentors him and fosters conducive, healthy growth there. Eventually, you want to have a contingency plan to take over for Rubio to be Garland's backup because Garland's so young and obviously going to be hopefully with the Cavs long term on his contracts. But for now, it's a good bridge gap into hopefully leading into another younger guard to back up Garland. But for now, it's the right move. Like I said, there were some initial sticker shock value when it comes to the price tag. But when you break down the numbers, break down what he gave you, break down what he was last year, and considering his current status health-wise, like 6.1-ish million is a pretty decent price to pay for Ricky Rubio.
Yeah, I didn't have like a ton of sticker shock for me, just because like I think like if you're not using the full MLE and you're getting him at this,
that's fair.
And, like,
they're not paying him $10 million annually. That's the thing.
Yeah, and like I think it's very clear that like once DeLon Wright got above the MLE, once Tyus Jones got 15 a year to go back to Memphis, like this was kind of where the market was going, and like I think getting him for six
Rubio
like makes
just
a ton of
Thanos
sense.
Sitting on the pile of rubble.
Yeah, it's like
tossing rocks around in his hand.
Yeah,
your
so like
just brought
I
back to me.
Yeah, and I think that note about maybe finding a younger point guard via the draft in the future is not a bad option. Like maybe a second rounder next year, maybe a UDFA that you really like. On a two-way, I think like maybe that guy you want to get also get that guy games in with the Charge, but you figure that out as you go, and I think that makes a ton of sense. I think it's very clear from asking about this and stuff that like they very much just like valued having Ricky the person Ricky Rubio in the building as much as the guy on the court, and like
the vibes are immaculate.
Well, and, like the reaction he got from guys like Darius on social and Dede Wade and like and a bunch of guys, like it was very clear that this was a guy that I think the organization did value, and like that was very clear from the reporting leading up to free agency when it was like, hey, the Cavs is blinking neon light plan is bringing back Ricky Rubio, and like that thing ended up being clear. I think the other part about this that we have to note is that this deal, while you're listening to this, it could may or may not have been officially announced yet. This is going to come out like late July 5th, early July 6th.
Mm-hmm.
These signings cannot be officially announced until July 6th. The Cavs, with these signings that we're going to talk about, the Nato one and then the Lopez one, and this, do fill up the roster. To bring back Colin Sexton, we'll have to clean out a roster spot. I will note that I had said previously on the show that about the sign and trade, like, wouldn't make sense and why it would hard cap you. I kind of think I was actually kind of wrong about that. If they're going to bring back Rubio from Indiana, if they could send out Jetty Osman or Dylan Windler, and if I wonder if Indiana would like want a future fake second or something to kind of grease the wheels there, like sure, that would create the roster space that would allow you to bring him back in. You're not gonna get up to that hard cap anyway if you're not paying the tax. So like I just want to say I brushed that off more than I initially should, but it's a very logical way for Rubio to come back, do a sign and trade, send back Osman. I think would make a lot more sense just to create clear the most room under the tax as possible.
I said this to you as you're explaining it to me. That is a lousy wedding gift from the Cavs. Hey Jenny, congrats on getting married, trading you to Indianapolis.
Well, I mean the thing is that like they may have already like they're
could have been already this could have been communicated way before the fact. Yeah, but like as yeah, it's coming out publicly, you're like, man, that stinks.
Yeah, and it's like the order of operations in this is sort of like unclear to me. It's like, will, like, when I talked to people about it, it was like the MLE at the last year is not guaranteed, but like the signature didn't really come up, but like it makes a lot of sense as like a way to give yourself some flexibility. This deal, again, I don't know if you can, you're not going to expect Rubio to like play until 2023. Like, he's probably not going to play until you get past the new year, just based on when he tore his ACL. But you play the long game here, and if you really believe in the power of the person as well, I totally get this. All right, after
that's
the break,
deep.
Though, we're going to talk about...
That's deep.
Yeah, I'm a people person. All right, after the break, we're going to talk about how will Neto, the Cavs point guard, they're bringing in a favorite of one of their assistants, Antonio Lang, but and how he's going to really replace Rubio in the meantime and why these two signings almost had to happen together. But Evan, you're going to tell everyone first about our friends at Arcade 1UP.
Absolutely. Boom shakalaka. We've got big news. The one, the only NBA Jam is back. Arcade 1UP, the leader in at-home retro arcade games, is not only bringing back the best game ever, but they're bringing it back bigger than ever with a, wait for it, Shaq Edition machine. People are obsessed with NBA Jam, and I'm thrilled to tell our listeners that you can once again play with NBA legends in this arcade classic. Jump clear across the court and set the ball on fire in one of the first sports games ever to feature real and digitized NBA licensed teams. No fouls, no free throws, and no quarters required. Compete with friends and family through all new Wi-Fi leaderboards, making you more connected than ever before. Pre-order now from arcade1up.com. That's arcade, the number one, up.com for an estimated early September ship date. Arcade 1UP is the place for fun. They've got even more classics like Golden Tee, Mortal Kombat, and many others just starting at $3.99. Check this out. They're also giving me an NBA Jam Shaq Edition to a Locked On listener. Enter for a chance to win a game console for your man cave at arcade1up.com/lockedon. That's arcade, the number one, up.com/lockedon. Hurry, you've only got till July 8th to enter to win the NBA Jam Shaq Edition console. Don't miss out. Enter today. Who are you going to play with?
All right, back here in Locked On Cavs, I'm Chris Manning. That's Evan Damrell. Be sure to check out the other Cleveland shows, the Ultimate Cleveland Sports Show, Locked On Browns, Locked On Guardians. Go check those out today. Support your local Locked On podcast. All right. How will Nato Evan, shout out to Carter Riggs for sending me the video the Sixers posted when Nato was there on how to pronounce his name. Brazilian Portuguese is tricky. Howl. So shout out to Carter.
I didn't know that.
Howl. Hmm. Yeah, Brazilian Portuguese. Tricky. And guess what? Who's called him Raul a bunch on the live show? This guy.
I was going to point myself, right, just in general. I've been calling him Raul Neto because I've been saying, I've been banging this drum for many moons now. Like, the Cavs need to grab someone like this.
Yes. So bringing him back, or bringing him in, excuse me, as Rubio's probably not going to play until the calendar turns to 2023, Evan, I think was totally necessary. I think you needed another veteran ball handler. It's clear the organization valued this, dating back to them trading for Rubio last season. So getting one on a minimum deal here, it makes a lot of sense. I think this, in theory, gives you real cover to take it slow with Rubio as he comes off an ACL. I will note that he is listed at 6'1", so like he's not going to give you that bigger guard play that was so key with Rubio a year ago. I don't know if you're going to like really successfully be able to play him, you know, with a Ruby, with Garland, you know, with Colin Sexton as he comes back. But like this is like a stopgap to give you a veteran ball handler to turn to. It makes a lot of sense in theory.
We talked about Tyus Jones a while back, just in regards to how like Jones really can't give you the ability to put it like a guard who plays bigger next to Garland, and just the defensive mismatches, at least compared to Rubio and DeLon Wright. Neto is kind of in a similar regard to Jones in that case, where like he's a smaller guard, but he's a good table setter. And I think ideally you pair him next to Ochai Agbaji, you pair him next to Isaac Okoro, you put him next to Colin Sexton as well if he's back, but also Kevin Love, and you get really creative with what you're doing lineup wise and rotation wise. Robin Lopez too, who we'll talk about a little bit in the final segment, but he is a lot better. I tell myself this, he's a lot better of an option than Kevin Pangos was last season, where Kevin Pangos just clearly looked overwhelmed playing the NBA game versus just the fact that he's more of a seasoned guard. He's played well with the Wizards. He's played well with the Sixers. Like, you're not going to be expecting a ton out of him. He's your third string point guard. But until Rubio's healthy, until Rubio's right, like, he's not going to look completely overwhelmed and overtaken by the moment. It also kind of gives you that luxury where early into the season, as guys are kind of easing back into things, you don't have to ask a ton more out of Garland to maybe win you games at times, because you have just like a solid, competent option coming off the bench for you and just providing you solid point guard play, and allows you instead to rest Garland at times, which I think is another win in itself too. But also, like, on back-to-backs, what if you want to rest Garland and you start Ruby instead? Neto is not a bad bench point guard to kind of like just call his number and say like, all right, Howl, tonight is your night. In order to get out there, I had to check the pronunciation one last time so I don't disrespect Cavaliers' soon point guard, Howl Neto. I have to unlearn so many times of saying his name right now, so I'm going to be really catching myself for a bit.
It's very fair. You also could see Rubio, like, maybe he doesn't play back-to-backs when he comes back. Nato could step in there and play. Like, it's a guy that I think gives you depth in that position, I think, an upgrade.
Multifaceted in that regard.
I think if you look at, if there's a theme, Evan, to me of, like, this signing and the Robin Lopez signings, it's like,
Rolo signing, but go ahead.
Well, it's like we need like upgrades over Moses Brown and Brandon Goodwin.
Yeah, that's a really good way.
Like
to
that
put
is
it.
Very clearly
that's,
they're
that's
just
a,
like
that's an excellent way to put it. Like,
yeah,
Garland. Like I talked about in the Garland celebration episode, Moses Brown looked good, but like there were reasons why Brandon Goodwin and Moses Brown were available, and getting quality depth veteran pieces, and kind of just banking on your internal development and growth of all these key younger guys is probably the way to go about it if you're Cleveland. Maybe it's not the ideal way if you're observing this. Maybe like you want to be more aggressive at times. I'm sure the Cavs were in conversations and trying to be aggressive at times, but it's the smart functional way is to have your third depth piece be like a pretty quality veteran who's obviously in the twilight of their career, but like Neto, Lopez, guys like that make a lot more sense than Brandon Goodwin, Moses Brown, even RJ Nembhard, or even Kevin Pangos. Again, I keep mentioning him, but like Pangos was a rookie who was just not equipped to handle starting minutes in the NBA or bench minutes in the NBA.
Yeah, like they went for like the older veteran guy in that sense too, as the back of the room, and it just didn't work. And then like this year, hoping would work. So just on his numbers from last year with the Wizards, 70 games, 19.6 minutes per game, 7.5 points, 3.1 assists, shot 29.2% from three, 46.3% from the field. I think that 3-point number is just the key to watch here. So like he's a career 36.6% shooter from three. He was at 39%, excuse me, the year before last. I think the hope, Evan, would have to be that last year was just a weirdo blip for whatever reason. And like this is one of those things like I would want to ask, like, okay, what happened with your shot last year? Like just pick his brain about that, because like you'll need him to stick some open threes and stuff if he's gonna play. And like if you are at times gonna have to like try to play him, you know, number one, him, and if he's gonna play off of LeVert, like you would hope he's gonna need to stick threes to make that work. Number two, if you're hoping he can play with maybe Sexton for stretches, if Sexton's back, or with Garland for stretches, like hitting some threes off ball and hitting spot up threes and being a spacer to some degree will be something he'll kind of need to do. Mm-hmm. So I would watch that, and let's see what his that's like. I guess like if we're looking at a risk here, it's like I think the defensive kind of, you're not going to get that Rubio defensive upside, which makes sense. It's a minimum contract. This isn't like a DeLon Wright or anything, mm-hmm. who you're going to pay like real. I commit some real money to, and then also like was last year's 3-point dip just a 1-year thing, or is that like a sign that his shot is falling off for some reason? I think you absolutely have to hope that that's not the case. Otherwise, like it becomes harder to play him if he's not making threes.
No, I think that is a fair question. I do think part of it might be the Wizards were leaning on him a lot more last season just because of their situation. Like his usage rate was insanely high last season.
Weird team.
Weird, odd team in general. But like the year prior when he's backing up Russell Westbrook, he had a usage percentage about 15.8%, and he was connecting on 39% of his three-pointers. So if you find that healthy balance where because he's equipped to play fast too. Like the Wizards were a team that played fast under Scott Brooks. I don't know how what they were for pace last season. I'll look at it now, but like they're a team that likes to play fast, and also they were almost dead last in the league last year. So maybe that's the other odd thing too, is just like there's interesting ways the Cavs could utilize this. But again, I keep circling back to this. They got a quality veteran option behind Rubio and Garland, mm-hmm. so that it gives them the luxury to rest their players, especially down the stretch run, or maybe during these games where like you're playing like the Orlando Magics of the world and you're like, all right, we're going to give Darius and Ricky the night off. This might be a scheduled loss just because of who we're getting the night off, but like we can put Raul in as either the starter or let him be the backup. And then you just kind of let RJ Nembhard maybe play if he's up. You let Caris LeVert and Colin Sexton, if Caris Sexton comes back, soak up those relief guard minutes. Like there's avenues to do this, but bolstering the depth behind Darius Garland was like one of my biggest things that the Cavs needed to accomplish this offseason, and they more than did that by bringing in Rubio and Neto.
Yeah, makes a ton of sense. All right, after the break, we're going to talk about another signing that seems to make a lot of sense, and that's Robin Lopez at backup center. But first, going to tell everyone about our friends at Built Bar. From the people who invented Healthy and Tasty, that's bold, comes the latest gift to your taste buds. You've probably tried the amazing coconut brownie chunk Built Bar, but guess what? Your friends at Built have given coconut brownie chunks the puff treatment. Get it? Treatment?
Yeah.
You get it? Treatment? It's pretty good. That's right.
Now
the
I
coconut.
Really get it. After you,
yeah, really
got to
hammer that
times.
Home. Yeah. Right. That's right, though. The coconut brownie chunk Built Bar flavor you love in a deliciously chewy marshmallow covered 100% real chocolate form into like a fluffy cloud of coconut brownie goodness. That's pretty great. Coconut brownie bit chunk puffs, that's a mouthful, are only here for a limited time. Go to Built.com now to make sure you don't miss out. They're going fast because they taste amazing. All Built Bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. The best part about Built Puffs is they taste amazing, of course, but you can enjoy them guilt-free because they're actually good for you. They are the perfect treat, perfect when you've got a craving, you need to satisfy your sweet tooth, or you need a quick, healthy snack. They are also an excellent source of protein. Delicious coconut, rich, sweet brownie, creamy marshmallow. Stop fantasizing. Get to Built.com to order your box of Built Coconut Brownie Chunk Built Puffs right now. Wow. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKED15. All right, Evan, last segment.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about Robin Lopez. I just talked a lot. That ad read was just like a Coconut brownie chunk built puff. That was a mouthful of an ad read.
It was light but filling, that ad read.
Light, but yeah, it was a lot. So I'm going to ask you, what do you think about Robin Lopez? Cavs bringing him in, just 34. I mean, look, you know, just industrial natures over there. But he's 34, been in the league a while, has been on some good teams. Was with the Magic most recently. What do you make of Robin Lopez?
I think it's a good
pickup
for the Cavs. Again, you look at Moses Brown. You look at Taco Fall, who got serious minutes for the Cavs. Like, I think Robin Lopez is an upgrade on Ed Davis just in terms of what's available, maybe left in the tank at this point in his career. He gives you some interesting things. Like, he can be a little stretchier. He can provide a little bit of space. And he's not like his brother Brooke in terms of just being like a Splash Mountain situation. But I have always been a fan of Robin Lopez. I like the fact that he's just kind of like embraced being a bit of a meme at times, where like he has the beefs with mascots across the league. He is unapologetically himself with comic books. Like, I really hope you get to ask him questions about like his comic.
Wait. Oh, I swear that number one, I need locker room access just so I can like, I hope they bring it back just so I can be like, Robin, like, can we just talk about like your like reading habits? Like, what are you reading right now? Do you have a pull list? Like, what's the vibe? Number two, did you see this is like an old photo that kind of got brought back up on Twitter, but friend of the program, Jimmy Longo, had that photo of like DG talking, I think, Serena Winters on the court. And in the background,
I've seen that one.
Is, like,
and then like when I posted on it for Fear the Sword, I literally typed Robin Lopez Cavaliers mascot, and then there's one of Moondog chasing him across the court. I'm like, this is perfect. So,
yeah. Well, and then like there was the whole thing where like there's a when I was looking this up when it happened, like the Moondog went and like bribed Robin Lopez with like popcorn, or Brooke Lopez, excuse
it's
me.
It's funny.
When
it's
like
funny.
After he had beef with Robin, like there's,
but like
just,
all
like,
accounts, it's not just funny,
just,
for like the fans.
I'm really intrigued by that. I also just
regard. By all accounts, he's a good locker room dude too. Like, he willingly went to the Orlando Magic last year, which was a losing situation.
Yeah.
He was a positive impact locker room guy for a lot of those players, and I think if you have Isaiah Mobley, who's probably going to be a part of the Cavs' long-term plans. You have Evan Mobley. You have Jared Allen. You have, like, these young guys. Having a veteran who's been there before, who has played on, like, a serious team like the Bucks for that one season with his brother, or, like, has had an extended career at this point, starting all the way back, like, in the 2008-2009 season with Phoenix. Like, he's been around. He's traveled. He's seen some things. Like, he could be... like, he's the goofy guy who can kind of, like, bring the locker room together, kind of like a Channing Frye. I'm not saying this is a championship thing, but, like, he's able to maybe keep the Cavs honest and maybe help them deal with the pressure, too. But also, like, again, like, Neto, if Allen was out or if Mobley was out, just, you know, knock on wood that neither of them are, you're not going to have a guy who's too overwhelmed. You're obviously, like, Ed Davis was leaned on heavily, but like I said, like, I think Lopez has just a little bit more in the tank compared to Davis, even though they're relatively the same age, but... I think there's something here, and I was like, yeah, this is a good signing. When I got the confirmation from his agent that, like, hey, Robin's going to come to Cleveland, I'm just like, oh, cool, that's actually a really good signing for the Cavs. Like, I like that acquisition for them because, like, it's positive on many fronts. And I think, I mean, Chris Fedor pointed this out, but, like, J.D. Bickerstaff kind of harping that, like, they're looking for positive impact guys through, like, this off-season process. Like, I think Lopez definitely checks the bill in that regard.
Yeah, he's 34. He's been around, knows what he's doing. He's also he's listed at 7 feet, 281 pounds. Ed Davis is 6'9", 218. This is, like, just a bigger veteran option, like, to fill that same kind of role. He's also not Moses Brown, who, like, was a lob threat, but very foul-prone, very limited. It's, like, very clear that they looked at what they saw. And, like, similarly with the backup point guard spot, I think, after the Rubio injury, it's, like, we need stability. We need guys we can kind of trust here. And, like, there's obviously some downsides to that, but, like, this is minimum contract stuff. I think this makes a ton of sense. Like, I mean, you look at the end of the year, it's like your center play quality dropped off so high. So from a high level to a pretty end level, once Jared Allen got hurt, you're obviously not going to keep that same level of play here if Lopez has to step in for Allen, but, like, you're hoping that drop-off is just a little less severe as you're going forward. Evan, I think the other thing to note about this that I think is interesting is that Lopez is signed to a one-year deal, and Isaiah Mobley is on a two-way deal. Isaiah Mobley, obviously, younger brother of Evan Mobley, second-round pick, but center, obviously. Mm-hmm. What I think they know here, when I would guess, I would just kind of suss this out a little bit. Lopez is not going to be their backup center option forever. It's like maybe very possible, if not likely, that this is just a one-year thing, right? Maybe two, right? Like this is not going to be a thing where like 38-year-old Robin Lopez is playing center for the Cleveland Cavaliers, right? What I think that you would hope to do here, probably not. What you'd hope to do here, it would seem to me, is you say, okay, we have Isaiah Mobley on a two-way deal this year. We can develop him with a charge. He can spend some time in the NBA if we kind of need him to, but we'd really like to get him time with Dan Giroux and the folks with the Cleveland Charge, get him game time, get him developed, have him around us some, learn from Robin when he can and stuff, if Robin's kind of open to that stuff, but get him developed. You really make this a big development gap year kind of thing for Isaiah. And then if you feel like he has progressed enough this year from what you see internally, from what you see in the G League, all that stuff, maybe you can then have the inside track to sign him to be a backup for Allen come 2023, 2024. When he's on his way up, you could probably get him a multi-year deal. The Cavs love signing those guys off of multi-year deals. Like, there's some logic to this. It's like, I think one of the things I really put them to task for in the draft, and I still think there's some validity to it, was like kind of punting on development. Now that we've seen them sign Robin Lopez, and then you see that Isaiah Mobley is officially on a two-way, which I think was always the plan.
In theory, yes. In theory, of course.
Like, you have a development plan here to fill that.
I don't think he'd be bad necessarily. I think him consistently being a solid
player. In theory, we should say in theory. Because, like, Isaiah could be bad. Like, whatever.
And, like, why he was a second-round pick.
We just don't know. Like, we just don't know.
That, like, the Cavs let him know pretty early that they were going to draft him. So, like, that really wasn't – that's why he kind of shut things down. But Mobley was asked, like, long-term, because he's obviously going to be starting things at the Charge during summer league media availability. Like, what do you want your expected role to be? And he's like, I just want to back up Jared Allen and my brother. I want to provide shooting. I want to provide some, like, connected playmaking. I want to provide rebounding. But mostly backing up Jared Allen and my brother. And I think – he may not be ready right now for the NBA. Like, I think a lot of people are saying, like, oh, they're just going to sign him to an actual contract and let him play in reserve. Like, I think it was smart using this two-way deal for a guy who has some potential to grow and develop and let him learn from his mistakes under Dan Giroux and the Charge and everyone else down there. And, like, it makes it more interesting. It makes it more entertaining. But, like, yeah, like you said, you approach this next year and you sign him to the Lamar Stevens or Dean Wade-like contracts where – there's obviously team options down the line, but you keep him in-house, you keep him on a cheap deal, and, like, this is something you and I were advocating, like, utilizing second-round picks and then utilizing the Charge, which you dragged up from Canton to your backyard in Cleveland, or right next door in Cleveland, so you can develop guys, utilize it properly, so you have, like, these quality depth pieces that are maybe, like, not great, but they're good enough that they can play 10-15 minutes, or if you ask them to play legitimate minutes, they're not going to be overwhelmed because, one, they're familiar with their system, two, they're comfortable playing at the NBA level, and three, more than anything, you kind of have invested time and energy into it. Like, this is a smart way to go about it. The Heat have done this for a while. Like, you saw a lot of their guys just kind of go through that system and they continue to do so. I think this is just a smart way to do things, and having guys who can be plug and play options long term are smart, but, like, signing guys like Robin Lopez alleviates the pressure of maybe having to lean on Isaiah Mobley so much in his rookie season and giving him the runway to go develop with the Charge instead. No, I thought the Neto signing was Neto. That's what I put on Fear the Sword when I posted it.
Evan, but, any final thoughts before we end for the day?
I don't think the Cavs are, like, you know, knocking out of the park. They were never in the DeJounte Murray conversation. Like, they're not going to trade for Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving or, like, do, like, any of those big moves. And this is prior to Sham saying that the Nets are now operating under the inception. Kyrie and KD will be back. But the Cavs are making smart, logical moves that upgrade the margins of this roster and have navigated just kind of an untenable situation roster wise and financially to have a pretty solid offseason so far. The Sexton domino is going to be the biggest one that falls still at this point, but we'll just see where it goes from there. But until now, the Cavs are a pretty solid team, and I'm not a huge advocate of running it back, but I'm also willing to be proven wrong because I was also very down on this Cavs year team last year heading into it, and they kind of came out the gates storming, and now adding some quality veteran depth might help balance things out so they're actually able to get over that hump and get in the playoffs.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. July 6th is the day these deals can be officially announced and signed. We'll see what they announce and how this all sort of shakes out with the structure of the roster. Now, for your second listen today, to get the latest news and rumors in the NBA in just 30 minutes. That's with Locked On NBA. Locked On NBA, your daily NBA right update there. In just 30 minutes or less. Check them out today. The Wednesday show was great. It's got Jake Madison and John Corrales, so go check them out. 2J's, it's great stuff. All right, but I'm Chris. That's Evan. We'll be back more with Locked On Cavs in our next episode. We're going to prep you for Summer League that begins Friday. We're going to give you acclimated with some of the notable guys on the roster. And again, because it's the day free agency deals can officially get done, we're going to react to some of that in a little bit more detail and see what kind of shakeout the roster happens, and we'll update you if anything with Colin Sexton happens, which is pretty quiet on that for right now, but July 6th feels like a date where that process could get moved in a different direction, at least somewhat. But until then, I'm Chris, that's Evan. Be well.